with it. Now. Just knowing that it is on the ship, on my ship, makes me shudder. I tuck it into my palm so I don't have to look at it, feeling the metal leach the warmth from my skin, and walk as fast as I can to the airlock. The seal hisses when I pull open the inner door of the pressurized airlock. I step into the chamber set into the hull of the spaceship. Through a porthole in the outer door, I can see straight out into space. If I opened that door now, I'd be dead in less than a minute as the vacuum pulled the air from my chest, taking my lungs along with it. I don't. Instead, I place the shard on the floor of the chamber and return to the safety of my ship, closing the inner door. Looking through the window, the fragment seems harmless. It's impossible to imagine the damage it caused. I swallow hard. I seal the airlock, and the system pumps to remove the air from the chamber. In my mind, I watch the tank break, the way I have time and time again since it first happened. I'd forgotten how cold it was against skin. I'd forgotten how shiny the steel looked when it was covered in blood. The outer door of the airlock slides open in a silent, easy motion. The last remaining piece of my mother's oxygen tank slips out into space. I catch a flash of light gleaming off its surface before it's left behind in the wake of the ship. Gone. Days until the eternity arrives. 314. From the eternity. Sent 11/30/2065. To the infinity. Received 4/17/2067. Attachment. LN.zip. 3 GB.
Good morning, Romy. I have some questions for you today, since I was so considerate as to answer yours. Even if yours were hypothetical and uninvited, it still counts. Promise. Why do you like Loch and Ness so much? I've attached the rest of the latest season, by the way. Enjoy. Even if the journey takes another 19 years, would you turn the ship around and go back to Earth if you could? I wonder a lot about what life is like for you, alone on your ship. You don't have to tell me anything you don't want to, but I'd like to hear about it. Jay.
From the Infinity. Sent 4/17/2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt 7/10/2067. Jay. Interesting questions. I like Loch and Ness because it's the complete opposite of my life. I've rewatched it so many times that the characters feel like real friends to me. Jaden is my favorite. He acts like he's really cool and jokes around a lot, but actually he's a total sweetheart. He's hilarious, too, and completely in love with Lyra, even though she doesn't know that yet. As to your second question, I actually did try to go back to Earth just after my parents died. I was all on my own, so I panicked and did what my 11-year-old brain thought NASA would want me to do. I tried to turn the ship around. You probably know that it's not like turning a car around. It takes years and years to turn a spaceship around, obviously. You've had all the real astronaut training. Well, I didn't have any of that. I thought it would be easy. I thought I'd be able to go back to Earth and let someone else take over the mission. I'd also gotten really fixated on my dad's dad, who was still alive at that point. All I could think about was going back to Earth and meeting my granddad for the first time. I thought he could adopt me. I knew that by the time I got back to Earth, I'd be 30 and wouldn't need adopting, but I just ignored that. I was in denial. Anyway, I marched up to the helm one day, hands on my hips, and ordered the computer to turn the ship around. It refused. I pressed a lot of buttons and did a lot of shouting, and it was still like, no. Because I didn't have the command codes, it wouldn't give me access. It forced me to stay away from the controls until I'd calmed down, which took a good few months. I think it was only when Molly started talking to me that I finally accepted I couldn't go home. Did you talk to Molly too, from NASA? Isn't she just the best? I miss her more than anything else now that the transmissions are down. In her first message, she promoted my authorization codes to make me the commander of the Infinity. I realized I could actually turn the ship around, so I tried again. I got pretty far with it. I set up the instructions and coordinates and even ordered more fuel to be sent to the thrusters. But when I went to press the button, I just couldn't do it. I think it was because this person at NASA was giving me total control of a spaceship. Me, Romy Silvers. I was only 14, but I was really in charge. That made me realize how serious it was. They were all relying on me. Our ships are about more than just us, aren't they? Everyone on Earth is depending on us to get to Earth, too. They've invested nearly half a century of money, time, and research into getting us there. I couldn't let them down just because I was scared. I couldn't change what had happened to my parents. I couldn't change the fact that I was here and that I was always going to be here, and my parents weren't. So I just got on with it. This voyage was never meant to be easy. It was meant to be important. Anyway, that's enough of that, or it'll spoil my appetite. And I've got tomato soup for dinner to look forward to. That's my favorite. That turned out a lot longer than I thought it would. Sorry if it got more emotional than you were expecting. There's something about you that just makes me want to open up, I think. R. P.S. Thank you so much for the rest of Locke and Ness. I know what my plans are for the rest of the day.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 293.
I spend the morning making a model house out of dinner packets. I carefully cut little doors and windows out of the plastic, trying to remember what the flat pack buildings in the stores look like so I can copy the design. I want to make houses similar to the ones Jay and I will be living in on Earth, too. Then I'll be able to picture what our lives will be like. I keep finding myself daydreaming about how my first meeting with Jay will go. Will we hug? Will talking be as easy as emailing is, or will it be really awkward? Today is the 2-month anniversary of the last time I heard from Earth. It's possible, maybe even likely, that Jay and I are the only two human beings left in the entire universe. Earth could have blown itself up, destroying every single life form on the planet, and we would have no idea. Even if we did, there's nothing that we could do about it. We would just have to keep going. The idea is almost freeing. Ever since I lost contact with Earth, Jay's messages have become so precious. It started out as a nice bonus on top of Molly's audio clips, but now we send each other emails daily, and his messages are the highlight of my day. Seeing a new message from him makes my pulse jump in excitement. At least something good has come from the war. It's brought us closer together.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 292.
From the Eternity, sent 2-8-2066. To the Infinity, received 5-9-2067.
Romy, what do you do every day on your spaceship? I've only been here for 7 months, and I've already done nearly everything from my list of things I've wanted to do for years, which is, basically, sleep, game for 10 hours straight, practice juggling, manage to deadlift 200 kilograms, finally, run 18 kilometers at a 5-minute pace. The only thing I haven't managed to do is learn to juggle, which I've decided, after a few attempts, was a terrible idea and something no sane person should ever try. I keep dropping the balls everywhere and setting off the ship's impact alarms. I think I'm too clumsy for hobbies that involve throwing objects around at high speed. It's a shame, because I've wanted to learn to juggle since I was in college. Once I was talking to a girl in my class and I bragged that I could do it. My roommate was listening and he called me on it and told me to prove it. I ended up giving myself a black eye. Obviously, the girl didn't give me her number. I got my revenge on my roommate, though. I used to pull lots of pranks. I was always covering the toilet seat in plastic wrap or ordering a dozen pizzas to be delivered to people who hadn't ordered them. I definitely made my friend regret the juggling incident. It was funny at the time, but looking back now, it's just embarrassing. I was awful when I was 18. To get back to the point, I've checked everything off my to-do list. Now I'm kind of lying around aimlessly, which is fine, I guess. I wasn't expecting endless entertainment or anything. I know I'm not going to be waiting for nearly as long as you've been. A couple of years is nothing compared with a lifetime. Jay.
From the Infinity. Sent 5-9-2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt, 7-25-2067. Good morning, Jay. I can't believe you're already bored. You've got a hard few years ahead of you. Not that I can talk. You're basically the most interesting thing in my life, especially now that you've sent me the rest of the Locke and Ness episodes. Please say you've started watching it, because that series finale, I really need to discuss it with you. And like I said, you really remind me of Jaden. It's funny how similar you two are. It's such a coincidence. I learned to juggle when I was 10. It's manageable if you start with two balls and build up. I should try it again sometime so I can give you tips. I love that you pulled pranks at university. That's really cute. My dad always used to tell me stories about his time at university. He was British, and he studied at the University of Cambridge, where he was headhunted by NASA. My mother was American, and he met her in the orientation sessions at NASA. But before they met, when he was studying, I think he had a lot of girlfriends. His stories always had different girls in them. I think you would have liked my dad. I wish you could have met him. I'd like to have wild stories about my university days to tell my kids someday. I'd like to have any anecdotes at all, actually. I used to wish that if I ever fell for someone, it would start with a funny little meet-cute that would make a nice story. Obviously, that's not going to happen, seeing as I have literally no dating prospects at all, living in the endless vacuum of space, but I was a delusional kid. I had a lot of imagination. R.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 274.
From the Eternity. Sent 4-4-2066. To the Infinity. Received 5-27-2067.
Romy. I'm really surprised by how much I miss Earth. I didn't expect it to be so bad because when I was on Earth, I spent every day desperate to just start the mission already. I have nothing to be anything but happy about, but I keep getting these horrible pangs in my gut out of nowhere. Every time, it takes me a while to realize that it's because I'm homesick. I just want to be outside. I never knew how much I need the sky or the ground or wind. Here are the things I miss most about home, now that I've been away for nearly 10 months. Walking aimlessly in any direction I want and never running up against a wall or circling back on myself. The texture of wood. Everything here is made of plastic or metal or plastic-coated metal. Real paper books, with pages and ink and spines that you can crack. Hot baths. The smell of perfume in a girl's hair. Everything about girls in general. Their laughs and smiles and soft skin and... Okay, I'm officially censoring myself with this one. Sorry. Dogs. Sitting at a bar with condensation from a cold glass dripping over my fingers. Getting properly, seriously, drunk. I've had to find all these new ways to relax without beer. The sound of rain against the window panes in the morning, when you just wake up and know you don't have to get up for at least an hour. Birdsong. I can't stop thinking about taking you to Earth, even though that's never going to happen. I'd love to watch your face the first time you saw snow or stroked a kitten. It's like I'm understanding everything differently now because I'm looking at it from your perspective. I want to see your reaction to everything, from the rare to the commonplace. I'm really enjoying writing to you, Romy. I've never had a pen pal before. I had a girlfriend in college who used to make me write her during the holidays, but I think that was just so she could show off to her friends about the letters her boyfriend had sent her. She never wrote back. J. X.
From the Infinity. Sent 5/27/2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt 8/5/2067. Attachment. Relaxationtapes.mp3. 4 megabytes.
J.
I wish I really could visit Earth with you. That sounds heavenly. Obviously, I've never been to Earth, so I can't tell you what I miss, but I can tell you what I want to experience the most. Group hugs with friends. Narrowly avoiding being run over by traffic on a New York street. Popcorn and slush puppies at the cinema. Candles! What are they about? Getting to play a real, actual piano instead of an electric keyboard. Quicksand. How often do you usually get stuck in this stuff? A few times a month? It seems to happen all the time in films. Daisy chains. Spider webs. Climbing trees and looking into birds' nests. Beer. I've never been drunk. I can't really work out what it's like. Is it similar to when you wake up from a really great dream and for a moment you can't remember what's real life and what are your subconscious's darkest desires and everything's a bit hazy? That's what I imagine it's like anyway. The sea, swimming pools, baths. What's it like floating in water? It sounds scary. I think mostly I just want to meet you, though. I could stand missing Earth if I got to see you in person. R. X. P.S. After I read your email, I searched through the video archives and found some recordings of birdsong and rain. The minute the birdsong started playing, I immediately felt calmer. My brain must be hardwired to find the sound peaceful, even though I've never heard a bird in real life. No wonder you love it so much. I'm sending over the recordings so you can listen to them whenever you feel homesick. I've set the rainfall as my morning alarm tune, so it'll be like we're together, listening to the same rain outside our windows. When I think about all the possibilities that could have been, I feel sick.
If the war had broken out before the Eternity was launched, I would have been left alone. I would have been completely abandoned, without Jay for company. I got so lucky. In what could have been the worst, most isolating time of my life, I've been given the best friendship. It's like it was fate, like Jay was sent to guide me through the darkness, to keep me sane. Without Jay, I would be nothing. I'd be less than nothing. I'd be forgotten. Jay cares about me. Jay is here for me, now that no one else is. He even put a kiss at the end of his email. A kiss! To me! I hesitate before I send the message and reread the part about having never been drunk. It makes me seem immature. Everyone has tried alcohol in films. Characters get drunk all the time, like it's nothing. Jay will think I'm a baby for not knowing what that's like. I delete that paragraph before I send the email. That evening, I find myself opening Dad's locker to stare at his bottle of whiskey. It's in an expensive-looking box, black with embossed gold writing. It's double my age. Dad was saving it for when we landed on the new planet. The crew weren't allowed to bring many personal items on board with them, but this was one of his. My mother chose to bring her sewing supplies with her. I take the bottle to the kitchen and pour a glass of the golden liquid. I might as well put the alcohol to good use. It will be interesting to know what being drunk feels like, just for future reference. Jay might mention it again.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 273.
Before I'm even awake, I wish I were asleep again. A sharp pain shoots across my skull when I breathe in and out. My eyelashes are goopy with sleep, and I can actually hear the blood pounding in my ears. It's too loud. What happened to me? The last thing I remember is trying to decide whether the whiskey might taste less awful if I added ice. Since then, something terrible must have happened. There's a swarm of wasps inside my skull, buzzing angrily. I feel like I'm dying. I've definitely caught a horrific disease. A flesh-eating fungus of some kind. I don't have the energy to panic just yet, though. First, I need to sleep for 10 years. I rub my eyelids, trying to summon the energy to get up and brush my teeth. My mouth feels fuzzy. This can't be the hangover that all the films talk about. It just can't. It's too terrible. If this is the result of drinking, then why would anyone bother? A flash of last night crosses my mind. Me, sprawled over the side of the sofa, maniacally singing show tunes and slurping whiskey through a straw from a glass on the floor. Oh, that's why. I lever myself into a sitting position and venture into the bathroom to try and find an aspirin. The living area is a complete mess. I seem to have taken every single item out of the cabinets. The sofa cushions are scattered across the room, as if I was making stepping stones to play a game of the floor is lava, the way I used to with Dad. Groaning, I dry swallow a pill and drop back into my bunk. I cannot deal with the mess right now. I don't even want to see the state of the kitchen. I have vague memories of attempting to make a 4-layer sandwich. I go back to sleep. Drunk Romy did come up with a great obstacle course made out of mushroom soup boxes to jump over in the corridor while running. So I guess she's not the worst ever? I'm still going to drink less whiskey next time, though.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 266.
I spend the morning making origami farm animals to add to the yard of my food container model house. Carefully folding lines of brown and white paper into chickens, pigs, horses, and cows, I place them around my farm in groups of 2 and 3. I think I might save up packaging so that I can make a barn for them. And maybe another farmhouse. I could make a pond out of foil, and some origami ducks if I can find a pattern for them. I'm so busy crafting that it's mid-afternoon before I notice the new email in my inbox. From Earth. Sent 9/19/2065. To the Infinity. Received 6/4/2067. There's an enormous noise in my ears. I think it's my own heartbeat, pounding like an alarm. A message. From Molly? It must be. I stare at the message, suddenly terrified to open it. I don't know why, but I feel sick. I've been waiting for this moment for months. Now that it's here, I wish it wasn't. My vision rattles, shuddering along with my breathing. Everything feels balanced on the head of a pin. What if it's bad news? What if something has happened to Molly? I was finally getting used to being out of contact with Earth. I was feeling happy again. I have to open the message. I know I do. I want to. But what if it's a mistake? What if the computer glitched and there's really no new message at all? I brace myself for the worst. I click. A page of text fills the screen. It takes me longer than it should to work out why I can't read it. It's in a different language, with an unfamiliar alphabet. I pull up a translator, pasting the text into it, and waiting for the message to process into English. From Earth, sent 9/19/2065. To the Infinity, received 6/4/2067. Subject, for attention of the Infinity. Dear Sir/Madam. Note. This message is intended for Commander R. Silvers of Earth vessel, the Infinity. If it arrives at a time that Commander Silvers is no longer in office, this message should be relayed to her successor. We are writing to inform you that the Infinity and the transmission unit on Earth are now in the control of our noble Union of the People's Republic. The United States of America was disbanded on July 2, 2065, and the countries of North America have been absorbed into the UPR, together with all scientific government organizations. We would welcome you as a fresh citizen and representative of the UPR from these moments on, and have large hopes for the Infinity and the Eternity missions. Since last contacted, the political landscape of Earth has shifted a considerable amount by the powerful UPR's victory in the Third Global War. Regardless, we hope the Infinity had no similar disruption and is still operating smoothly. The UPR is in the process of installing new antennas to detect messages, one of the original having been destroyed in the bombing of Europe. We look forward to receiving the Infinity communications at your pleasure in the future, and eagerly await a confirmation that the Infinity is still on course to reach the destination planet HT-3485C. All hail the UPR. May the King live long and vigorously. This doesn't make sense. I can't even... What? Bombing of Europe. Molly. Is she okay? Is she still alive? The message doesn't say. Molly could be dead, and I would have no idea. This is my worst nightmare come to life. I can't keep hold of the thoughts running through my mind. As soon as I try to focus, everything scatters out of my grasp. I make myself stop thinking about Molly, using the methods she taught me to calm down. If I carry on panicking, I'll be destroyed completely. I run through everything, trying to process it all objectively. NASA has been taken over by another government.
I don't know how to feel about that. I want to be happy that I'm getting messages from Earth again at all, regardless of who is sending them. It's not like I've ever been to Earth. I have no real investment in which ruling government is currently controlling the piece of land that one of my parents came from, or that the land the other came from has been bombed. It's all happening on a planet I've never seen. But I still feel uneasy. I read the message over and over. The words feel like a vice clenching around my heart. It might just be the translation making the message come out odd and unemotional. It must be hard for software to translate tone accurately. If I could read the original language, it would probably be a great message, really welcoming and friendly. The UPR are probably nice people. The next message I get from them will be totally normal. But if the war ended in July, then why did it take them until September to get in touch? I drop onto the sofa and then seconds later jump up again, in favor of pacing the room. I don't think I'm being told the whole story. Suddenly I feel lonelier than before the message arrived. I miss Molly. I need to talk to Jay. From the Infinity. Sent 6-4-2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt, 8-10-2067. Jay. Did you get an email from Earth? From something called the UPR? It's the worst message I've ever received. Even worse than the last message from my friend Molly. I'm so scared. I need to know what's happening. I need to know if Molly is still alive. What can we do? Is there anything we can do? Or do we just have to sit here waiting like always? I don't trust them, Jay. Nothing they are saying makes any sense. They are lying to us. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad there's someone I can rely on. R. X. From the Eternity. Sent 4-30-2066. To the Infinity. Received 6-4-2067.
Romy, I guess by now you've picked up the message from the UPR too. As soon as I read it, I messaged you. I didn't want you to have to deal with their email without hearing from me. But I don't really know how I feel yet. Sorry if this sounds a bit confused. It's just all so strange. I want to be angry. I should be angry. This dictatorship has taken over my country. I should hate them, right? I should, but... And I would never normally admit this, especially not to a girl. I'm scared, Romy. There's nothing I can do about it. There's no way that I can help my friends. I don't know what I'd do if you weren't here too. Probably turn the ship around and go back to Earth like a one-man army. I'd try to save them all and get blown up in the process. I can't believe it. J. X.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 261. From UPR. Sent 9-23-2065. To the Infinity. Received 6-9-2067. Subject, for attention of the Infinity. Attachment, antennacoordinates.txt, 40 kilobytes. Commander Silvers, we hope everything is well on the Infinity, and there is no reason for concern with regard to the progress of the vessel. We have fully installed the antennas ready for detection, so now hope for updates received to the UPR. If the Infinity ceased communication during the Third Global War, then expectations are no message pickup for 1 year or longer. We will, however, continuously scan for transmission during that time, in the instance a message was sent during the war. Would you kindly transmit to us the details of your vessel's system operations to date for analysis? The UPR wishes all the best for the Infinity and once again expresses how pleasing we find your addition to our citizenship alongside the Eternity. All hail the UPR. May the King live long and vigorously. The UPR have been sending me messages for days, and I still don't understand a thing. I scan every word, trying to read the truth behind the messages. Who are the UPR? What's really happening on Earth? They keep sending me robotic messages with a lot of words, but not much useful information. The UPR are obsessed with the running of their newly repossessed ships and not at all interested in telling us what's actually going on back on Earth. I don't know what to think. I just know that I don't trust them. I can tell Jay doesn't either. Is Molly still working at NASA or for the UPR? Is she even alive? I don't think they are ever going to tell me. The UPR know that their messages are our only communication with Earth, but they still treat us like computer systems they need to relay orders to. I refuse to send them any information about my ship, at least not until I know that I can definitely trust them. The ship's system data used to transmit to NASA, but that stopped when the antennas went down. I'm not going to start sending it to the UPR instead. Who knows what they would do with the data? I'm not an idiot. They have no right to tell Jay and me what to do. They didn't build these ships. They don't own us. From the Eternity. Sent 5/15/2066. To the Infinity. Received 6/9/2067.
Romy. I realized today that I'm in mourning for Earth. I don't think it's homesickness anymore because the Earth I was homesick for only exists in my memory. If I went back now, everything would be different. My old home would be unrecognizable. I don't feel sad about the UPR, I just feel numb. Well, that's not entirely true. I feel angry and frustrated, the same as I felt after my parents died. Back then, I couldn't focus on anything beyond this wild fury, which made me want to do anything it took to right the wrong of their deaths. How do you react to grief, Romy? How did you react after your parents died? How did they feel after the deaths of the rest of the crew? Did they feel guilty? Did it consume them? Or did they carry on with life as normal? J. X.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 259. From the Infinity. Sent 6/11/2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt 8/15/2067. J. Firstly, I'm sorry this reply is a couple of days late. It took me a while to write it. I wanted to get it exactly right. Your reaction seems completely understandable to me. Everyone deals with grief in different ways. Anger is just one of the stages. After my parents died, I didn't feel sad either. Or in denial, or any of the other things you're supposed to feel. I just felt scared. I was too busy trying to work out how to survive each day to take the time to actually grieve. I think I was in shock. I knew we were isolated out here, but I didn't mind it so much when I had my dad to look after me. He did everything. He cooked and cleaned and maintained the ship. He educated me and hugged me and loved me and read me bedtime stories. He was my best friend.
my only friend.
And then all of a sudden he was gone. For the first time, I had to do everything he'd done for me by myself. I couldn't accept that I was responsible for it all. Like I told you before, I even tried to turn the ship around.
I curled up in bed and only moved when my bladder hurt so much that I had to use the bathroom or I had to eat. I didn't even let myself sleep, because whenever I fell asleep, I had these awful nightmares where I relived everything that had happened. I just watched Locke and Ness over and over. I was so terrified of my nightmares that I used to pile every piece of furniture that wasn't screwed down in front of my bedroom door. I wasn't taking any chances of someone getting in. I was scared of being alone and scared of not being alone all at once. That was my whole life. For over 2 years. Until Molly started talking to me and rescued me from myself. So trust me. However you react to grief, you're doing a better job than me. My parents are another example of how everyone reacts differently. After the crew died, they were both so upset. I was only young, but I picked up on that. I still have nightmares about the astronauts all the time. I think it helped my dad that he had to put on a happy face for 4-year-old me. He kept up the routine of day-to-day life for my sake. He didn't lose himself in the heartache. But my mother, she didn't go through the stages of grief like he did and like you're doing. She shut down completely. For the first year, Dad thought that she would get better. But she never did. She got worse. She stopped speaking to us completely. Then she refused to be in the same room as us. She couldn't so much as look at me. I wish I knew what I did to deserve that. Even now, I feel guilty for whatever I did wrong. I wasn't scared of her when she was like that. I was just desperate for her attention. I loved her so much. I used to beg her to play with me, to notice me. I used to bring her pictures of animals and plants that I'd copied out for her embroideries, or cookies and cakes I'd attempted to bake. None of it worked. My dad tried to help. He loved her more than anyone, more than me. He spent years trying everything he could to help her cope with the trauma she'd internalized. He didn't stop trying, not until it was too late. Not until they died because of it. Just remember, Jay, you're coping with everything the best way you can, and that's all that matters. Don't ever think you aren't strong. The UPR makes me feel numb, too. R. X.
Days until the eternity arrives. 254. From UPR. Sent 9/30/2065. To the infinity. Received 6/16/2067. Subject: For attention of the infinity. Commander Silvers, to reiterate our last message, if you have not already done so, please transfer all systems data to Earth for further study. It is of utmost importance we receive this data, as no vessel analytics were picked up by the UPR or NASA during the war. New data will help us to perform mission analysis and suggest improvements to the operating conditions of the Infinity. We also wish to ensure that the background level of radiation and electromagnetic energy are not damaging to health. Thank you for your cooperation. More instructions for further improvements to arrive in the coming weeks. All hail the UPR. May the King live long and vigorously. I had hoped the UPR's last request for information was a casual request, but it wasn't. They are going to keep asking me, over and over, until I break down and agree.
They're going to try and interfere with every aspect of my mission. I always knew the people on Earth didn't trust me to do this by myself. It's not right, what they're doing. They can't take over at the last minute and change everything. I fire off an angry reply, unable to hold my tongue any longer. I watch the email transmit. Each byte of data explodes inside my chest, spreading painfully through me. From the Infinity, sent 6/16/2067. To UPR, predicted date of receipt, 3/7/2069. Dear Sir/Madam, I appreciate your attempts to form a peaceful collaboration between the UPR and the Infinity. However, I regret to inform you that I am unable to cooperate with your requests at this time. I do not feel comfortable sending you any information about my ship until I know more about the circumstances involved in your takeover of NASA. The details of the events of the Third Global War in your first message were a little sparse. Could you expand on the situation? I would also like to know whether an employee of NASA called Dr. Molly Simmons is still working on my mission after NASA's management changed hands. Did she become a UPR citizen after the UPR took over North America? I would be very grateful if you could tell me anything you know about her current whereabouts and status. Regards, Commander Romy Silvers.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 253. From the Eternity, sent 6/9/2066. To the Infinity, received 6/17/2067.
Romy. When I was little, I never did well in school. I hated my teacher and I thought the classes were stupid. I just couldn't work in controlled environments. I thrived most when I was left to my own devices. Before she died, my mom would always tell me that however much I hated my teacher, I needed to do what she said because she was the boss and I wasn't. She said that I should respect authority because they had been put in charge for a reason, even if I personally didn't like them. I think that's the case with the UPR. We might not like them. We might hate everything about them, but they have all the power. I don't want to feel like I'm living in someone else's world, where there's an external force telling me what to do. But they have all the information, and I need to know what has happened to my friends. I'll do anything they ask if it might help persuade them to send us the details about what happened in the war. We have to choose what we object to very carefully. As long as it doesn't harm us, I think it's best that we agree to their demands. If you can't help the UPR for yourself, then please do it for me. They could cut off all our contact with Earth if they wanted to, and I couldn't handle that. Not when we're already so alone. Besides, even if I don't trust them at all, I have to admit that they've made some suggestions about my ship's life support efficiency that have actually been really helpful. I know they're asking you to make some changes to your ship, too, which have probably been even more useful, as your ship is so much older. Grudgingly, I must say they know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. I wish there was something I could do to protect you from this. From them. I feel so powerless. I'm sure you do, too. At least they can't stop us from talking to each other. J. X.
From the Infinity. Sent 6/17/2067. To the Eternity. Predicted date of receipt, 8/18/2067. J. I wish I'd waited to see what you said before replying to the UPR. My dad always taught me the opposite of your mother. He told me to do whatever I thought was right. Like he did, when he and my mother ignored NASA's advice after she got pregnant. They were supposed to terminate the pregnancy, change shifts with another set of caretakers, and go into torpor sleep. If they had, I would never have been born.
Dad stood by their decision to keep me, even after what happened with the astronauts. He used to say that someone outside of a situation is never able to truly judge the best actions to take. I've always believed that. But I didn't consider you. I didn't think about all the people you know on Earth, about everything you could stand to lose if the UPR cut us off. I'm not the only one who is affected by my actions anymore. I should have thought about the impact this would have on you, instead of just getting angry. I won't send them any more defensive emails. I'll play nice. I can't promise that I'll do everything the UPR ask, because I still don't trust them. But from now on, if their requests are logical, I'll at least consider it. For you. I'll send them the information they want. It's a good idea to analyze the background levels of radiation. I admit that is a useful suggestion, at least. R. X. There was never supposed to be just one person on the Infinity. There was supposed to be a whole population. An entire generation of astronauts trained and prepared for this mission. They were put into a deep sleep state called torpor, which was developed for long-duration missions. The astronauts would have remained in the biological hibernation until the ship arrived at the new planet, where they would have woken up without having aged a single day in over 40 years. My parents were the first pair of caretakers. They had volunteered to stay awake on the initial leg of the journey to run the ship and safeguard the sleeping passengers, growing old in the process. They had been trained to live alone on the Infinity and make sure everything remained operational. If everything had gone to plan, after 5 years they would have woken up another pair of astronauts and left the ship in their care while they went into torpor sleep. But I was born. To say that NASA wasn't pleased is an understatement. My birth meant that my parents had to stay awake instead of swapping places with another pair of astronauts. It messed up the whole plan. Eventually, NASA accepted it and came up with a new mission timeline. My parents were told to remain as caretakers until I was 18, when I would be old enough to enter torpor sleep myself. Then, the three of us would have gone into stasis and only woken up again when we arrived on Earth 2. Once that was decided, I became the pride of the Infinity. The first child born in space, the start of the new generation, the emblem of all that the mission would achieve. In the end, all I am is a symbol of its failure. I'm keeping track of the number of days until the Eternity reaches me, written in whiteboard marker on the plexiglass wall between the kitchen and lounge area. 253. The number of days I'll have to survive on my own. The number of nights I'll have to worry about running this ship alone. Every hour feels endless and pointless now that I'm just waiting for Jay. I decide music will help distract me. I make the computer's controls into an electric keyboard and start practicing my piano chords. I play all of the loudest songs I know, turning the volume up and filling the ship with the sound of music until I don't feel so small and quiet and helpless. I only stop when my fingers start to ache from playing. Then I turn on some pop music instead, singing along as loudly as I can. I jump down into the lounge area, dancing on the sofa, and trying to recapture the carefree happiness I felt when I first started talking to the Eternity, and everything seemed so hopeful for once. I make myself dance until I can't ignore the fact that it isn't working, that I just feel worse than ever. I collapse onto the floor, trying to catch my breath. Staring through the porthole, I watch the spiraling stars until I make myself dizzy. I let my vision blur until the constant glow of a distant nebula turns a soft red, then blue, then yellow, then the darkest, deepest green.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 249.
From UPR.
Sent 10-4-2065. To the Infinity. Received 6-21-2067.
Subject, for attention of the Infinity.
Attachment, Linux Infinity-OS.zip, 17 terabytes.
Commander Silvers, judging from evaluations of old NASA data of the Infinity, you must change several elements of lifestyle in order to improve energy efficiency and system lifetime extension in all cases. Over the next 27 hours following this message, we will be transmitting a large program to the Infinity. Please install the operating system on your computer. It contains multiple updates to the current command, data handling, and flight data subsystems, which are over a decade out of date. It will allow more autonomous control of the vessel's devices, such as improvement of translational and altitude control in the X-ray telescope observatory and the thrust throttling. This software is used on board the Eternity, but NASA felt that it was not worth the cost of transmission from Earth to update the system on the Infinity too. However, the UPR has decided it is a worthwhile expense to ensure that any errors in the system are fixed. We do not want any operational failures due to code decay. Thank you for your cooperation. All hail the UPR. May the King live long and vigorously. I've started getting a sick feeling in my stomach every time I open a new email from the UPR. Even though I know that the changes they are suggesting make sense, I still have to fight against my better judgment to agree. My instinct tells me that this latest request is a trick, that they're sending me some kind of virus. If I install it, they might be able to open the airlocks, shut down the life support system, and leave me to suffocate. But what possible advantage could they get from sending me software that would damage my ship? From what they've said, getting the Infinity and the Eternity was a big victory for them in the Third Global War. Why would they destroy the ships now? Jay is right. I can't let my emotions get in the way of being a good commander. I'll be hurting the Infinity if I don't follow their guidelines to improve the ship. I've been so convinced that the UPR are the bad guys, that they only want to hurt me. But I'm going to have to do what they say. I'll wait and see what the program looks like when it arrives. I know a little about programming. I'll see what updates they've made, and if they really do what they've said. It'll take 27 hours to receive anyway. I can change my mind before it arrives. It's the 2-year anniversary of the Eternity's launch today. I wonder if Jay is celebrating. Or if he's regretting ever having left Earth at all.
Days until the Eternity arrives. 247.
The new operating system has finished uploading and I still haven't decided whether I'm going to install it. Something just doesn't feel right. I can't tell if my anxiety is my usual paranoia, or whether this is actually something worth worrying about. I wish I could talk to Jay about this in real time. He doesn't seem to know that the UPR have told me to upgrade my OS to match the one he uses on the Eternity. Or, at least, he didn't mention it in his last email. There's no reason why they would need to tell him, I suppose. It's not like I can ask his opinion on what to do, either. It would be 2 months before he even received my message. I'm going to have to make this decision on my own. Even if the UPR are genuinely trying to help me, surely there's a chance they've missed something. What if the new program has a mistake in the coding that accidentally shuts down something vital on the ship? Decades ago, a spaceship crash-landed on Mars because NASA messed up the units in their calculations. Half the team were using inches and the rest, centimeters. The trajectory went completely off course and the spacecraft disintegrated in the atmosphere. What if the UPR use a different set of units from the ones NASA used? What if I install their program and the Infinity sets off to a different area of space and I never get to Earth too? What if it alters the rotation of the ship and sends the gravity haywire, making the ship spin faster and faster until the centrifugal force pushes my brain through my spinal column like soup? There are so many reasons to ignore their suggestion. But there are always reasons for me to hide under my duvet and